The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, the Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. Couple game fours on ESPN and the app. We got the Rangers-Penguins, 7 Eastern. Pittsburgh's up 2-1. Then the Preds hosting the Avs. Colorado going for the sweep. Meanwhile, before we start a new hour, how about a wake-up call courtesy of the Kentucky Derby? Take it away.
They're coming down to the wire. Apple center's ended. Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh, my goodness. The longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby. Strike has done it in a stunning, unbelievable upset.
On Friday morning, Rich Strike wasn't even scheduled to run in the Kentucky Derby. By Saturday night, Rich Strike had won the Kentucky Derby at 80-1 odds. An amazing weekend of sports, and that was a huge part of it, of course, and an awesome call. All right, with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We're coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, and we are jam-packed. And we begin the hour the only place we can. James Harden and the Sixers in the game of the night, game four of their series with Miami. We start with us talking about Joel Embiid, and the fans said the mask is ready, the man is ready, and indeed he was. Embiid had 24 last night, looking more and more comfortable as he works his way back in. But the one who really looked comfortable was James Harden. So many struggles in this postseason, but last night he had it going. That step back three, and you see the emotion. Sixers up 8 at halftime. Early fourth, Sixers by 9. Harden, he would make 6 threes in this game, and Joel Embiid says that's what I'm talking about. Sixers up a dozen. 5.5 to play. The lead is 7. And then it's Harden again, making it back to 10. And Miami was led last night by Jimmy G. Buckets. The G stands for gets. Jimmy Butler had 40 points in this one to single-handedly keep his team in it. But it was Harden who just would not be stopped. Look at him going to the hole, giving the Sixers a 7-point lead in the final minutes. Just over 3 to play now. It's a 5-point game. Harden, the catch and shoot. We never see that. 41 minutes, 31 points. Sixers up by 8. Just over a minute to play now. Sixers still up 8. Harden from 3, knocks it down. That's the dagger. A 16-point fourth quarter. James Harden gets it done. Hey, Joel, how about your guy?
That's the reason why he's here. You know, that's the reason why we brought him. You know, since he's gotten here, he's been adjusting, you know, based on what we need from him. You know, he's really the reason why, you know, we won this game.
Just took what the defense gave me. Same shots, just made some. Nothing really changed, man. I made some shots. Obviously, that's a game changer, but just being aggressive.
No, I get why he's downplaying it. Look, 16 of his 31 points come in the final quarter, his most in any quarter the last two postseasons. He entered last night with a total of 4 points in the fourth quarter through the first 3 games of this series. And so as I bring Tim Legler and Brian Windhorst back in the conversation, Legs, I understand why he's downplaying it. Because he's like, look, I'm James Harden. This is what I expect of myself. I understand the mentality, but the reality is we haven't seen that guy in a really long time. What did it mean?
Well, listen, it meant everything to the Sixers because I thought Joel Embiid actually, if you listen to what he said there, it's pretty interesting. This is what we brought him here. This is what we needed him to do. Think about what Joel Embiid dealt with a year ago in the postseason at that position. He had a guy on his team that didn't take a shot in 5 fourth quarters in a 7-game series. Now you have a guy that can answer the bell as a scorer from the point guard position. And that is what they brought him in to do. The problem is he had struggled to find this. And look, anybody that questioned it, you're not out of your mind for wondering if you were ever going to see that out of James Harden again. Certainly not in this postseason based on how he had played for a couple of months. It was reasonable to doubt that would happen. But the question here is this now something going forward, or is this, hey, on one night, he had his confidence, he felt in rhythm, and he got it done. I don't know yet. We have to see it now go forward because there's more pressure than there's ever been on Harden since he put a Sixers uniform on over the next 3 games because it's a best of 3 with 2 on the road.
So, Wendy, are we kind of in some ways right back where we started, which is to say, if I were to say As James Harden goes, that will decide the series. If he plays anywhere near that, the Sixers will win. And if he doesn't, the Heat will win. Is that overstating it?
Yeah, especially because right now Harden is basically a three-point shooter. He's lost his step to get to the rim. He's still getting to the foul line. He was 2 of 8 on shots inside the arc in this game. And this has been a three-point shooting series, Greeny. The two games in Miami, Philly shot 20% on threes. The two games in Philly, they shot almost 50%. And there's factors there. Embiid came back, changed the spacing. Definitely Embiid looked light on his feet in this game. His step back was working. He even hit a catch and shoot three-pointer, which I contend I haven't even seen him do in weeks. So you know he was feeling it. And so if you're Philly, in addition to feeling like maybe Harden is getting on some sort of streak here, you're going back to Miami with Joel Embiid, which you didn't have before. You believe you have the best player in the series in a best of three. And so you like your chances, even if this is the best game that Harden ends up playing in this series.
And the emotion that we saw from him on the floor last night, right there, that moment of celebration that you just saw quickly there was the one that really jumped out to me. He so frequently behaves with this sort of detached cool about him. But last night, you could tell how much this has been getting to him, the criticism or whatever it is, just his own struggles. And last night, he played great. So then, Legs, let's assess where we are right now. It's 2-2. The Heat have home court advantage. They're the one seed. But with Embiid coming back and getting stronger, how do you see this series as we sit right now?
Well, in a situation like this, with the number one seed having two out of these three games at home, you're going to favor the Heat. I know I do. I still think they're going to win this series. They can't possibly shoot the ball any worse than they did last night. And their whole stable of role-playing three-point shooters, the guys that you're counting on to make those shots, none of those guys had a good night. It's interesting to me. I made a joke this morning with somebody. I said, maybe I had it all wrong as a three-point shooter in the league by making them at a high rate, because Duncan Robinson went 8 for 9 in game one of the Atlanta series, and we've never seen him again. So I'm not sure if you go there or not, because there's a reason that Eric Spoelstra's made that decision. I certainly don't question Eric Spoelstra's, you know, acumen. He's one of the brightest minds in the game. I just wonder if, you know, do you go there? Because that's what let them down last night more than anything, was their inability to make three-point shots. So I think they'll shoot better at home. I think clearly now you're going to have to probably pay a little bit more attention to what you're going to do here with Harden. I still think the Heat are in the driver's seat. But look, it's a best of three. And if Joel Embiid gets better every night, Sixers could definitely win this series.
To sort of illustrate your point, the Heat 7 of 35 from three-point range in that game. I agree. The absence of Duncan Robinson has certainly been a bit, if you follow on Twitter, that's certainly been a big topic of conversation. Wendy, quickly, as we sit right now, how do you see the series?
This is a strategy game between Doc Rivers and Eric Spoelstra about Tyler Hero. The Heat have not been able to deal with the double teams that Doc Rivers elected to start throwing at Tyler Hero in games 3 and 4 of this series. Doc gets criticized for not making in-series adjustments. Well, this one has worked. And with Kyle Lowry definitely hampered by that hamstring injury and not able to make much of an impact, they're relying too much on Jimmy Butler and not getting enough from Tyler Hero. So as Legg said, it would not surprise me if Duncan Robinson is installed into the game, even though he's not great defensively, to give them another option when Tyler Hero gets double teamed.
Where have you gone, Duncan Robinson? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Meanwhile, so we got that series tied at 2 games apiece. And then we have the stunner in North Texas yesterday. Roll it. How about the Suns and the Mavericks? So you got Chris Paul on one side. You got Luka Doncic on the other. You got Chris Paul had a bad night on Friday night. Figure no way he's following that up. Well, hold on. This is the final second of the first half. They put him back in just for that final play because he had 3 fouls. And unimaginably, he does that. Picks up his fourth foul before halftime. Mavericks have a 12-point lead. Early third now. Suns down 7. Chris Paul. Here's another call on him. A lot of people questioned it, but he kind of cuts off the defender and slows down. They've been making that a point of emphasis in the league. Not ideal for the Suns. He's got 5 fouls. Meanwhile, Luka's got this going to work in the paint on Cameron Payne, then saying that guy's too small. Mavs a 9-point lead going to the fourth. Then Paul comes back in, and so help me, it felt like 15 seconds later, he fouls out of the game. right there, reaching in the cookie jar. He finished with 5 points and six fouls. Unbelievable for the great Chris Paul. Less than 2 minutes left. Mavs up 12. Doncic in the post. The moves are spectacular. And then Doncic also giving as good as he gets. They got 36 off their bench last night. That one is Maxi Kleber. And then here's a little more from Luka. He had 26.7 boards, 11 assists. Mavs win. Chris Paul, Friday was his 37th birthday. That night and then yesterday. So the two games he's played as a 37-year-old, he's had a total of 17 points and 9 turnovers and almost as many fouls as he has had assists. So here's a question that Tim Legg, I host the NBA shows now. So I've talked about the NBA more this year than any other year of my life. And I never would have thought I would ask this question. But Legs, are the Mavs about to knock the Suns out of the playoffs?
I don't think that's going to happen. And here's the thing. You've got to make an adjustment now if you're Monty Williams, because here's the deal. If you're going to give up that many, and I call them practice shots because I don't think these are difficult shots that the Mavericks role players are making. These guys have time and they've got space. If you're going to give those up, well, then you better be walling off against Luka Doncic. That's not the case. They have both right now. Luka gets to the rim pretty much whenever he wants. He's getting a lot of single coverage in the post so he can get to the basket. He can get to his step back three whenever he wants to. So you haven't really taken anything away from Luka Doncic as a scoring threat, and yet you're giving up wide open catch and shoot threes. The adjustment has to be the defenders on those guys spotting up Greeny, they've got to just be one step closer. They're almost rotating too far toward Luka prior really to any action taking place, and now they can't recover because he's got so much strength. He's putting this ball on a rope to the other side of the floor, and these defenders are not having enough time to get there. So Monty Williams, pick. Do you want Luka to shoot the ball 30, 35 times and get 50 to beat you? Or do you want to try to take away the threes? What's it going to be? He hasn't done either in the last two games, and I think that's where the adjustment comes, and that's why I think Phoenix is still in control.
How do you see it, Wendy?
Well, look, I do think the Suns are in some trouble because it is now a three-game series and the Mavericks have the best player. And I have seen repeatedly in my career the best player carry his team against better teams. That said, Luka did not play great these last two games, as Legs just mentioned, scored under 30 points in both games, and the Mavericks won. So here you have a classic situation. Do you camp down on the star and make the role players have to deliver, or do you stop the role players? Monty Williams already addressed that after last night's game, talking about how he couldn't believe how open Dorian Finney-Smith and Davis Bertans got. You cannot let guys like that have wide open shots. So it would not surprise me, not only does Chris Paul play smarter starting in game five, but that Luka's scoring goes back up, but the role player scoring goes back down as the Suns pick that poison.
It's been a remarkable series so far. We'll have Stephen A. Smith in here in our studio a little later talking much more about all the NBA playoff action. Awesome work this morning, fellas. Thank you both. And as we roll on here, we have a ton of things to get to. Was this a dirty play? Have lines been crossed in what's been a chippy series in the other Western Conference matchup, Warriors and Grizzlies? Stephen A. will get into that. Plus, we've had a big Monday Night Football announcement made this morning involving the Eagles. Are they now the team to beat in the NFC East? We'll answer that question as we roll on. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETravel at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETravel to save 20%.
All right, we are back with Tim Legler and Fact or Fiction. So, Legs, let's start with this. Moments ago, Woj reported that Nikola Jokic will win the NBA's MVP award. So, fact or fiction, the league voters got it right with Jokic.
Well, I mean, if my vote would have gone to somebody else, I got to say fiction, right? And I don't want to get people in Denver mad at me because obviously Jokic is deserving of it, but you have to be definitive in who you think it was. And for me, it was Joel Embiid. I just thought he had control of the award. I didn't think he did anything to lose it down the stretch.
Next up, Factor Fiction would be Warriors-Grizzlies. It's been chippy. We've had ejections. So Factor Fiction, this has been a dirty series.
No, not a dirty series. I think it was a dirty play by Dylan Brooks, but I don't think the other plays were dirty. I don't think Draymond Green's play was dirty. I don't think what Jordan Poole did was dirty. It's definitely chippy. They're getting on each other's nerves, and it's been unfortunate that some guys have been injured in the process, but I would not label the series dirty.
All right, and then one more back in the East. Factor Fiction, Celtics-Bucks is going 7 games.
I'm going to say fiction because I think the Bucks will win the series. And if you think they're going to win it, you don't think it'll be 7, right? Because game 7 would be in Boston. And you know what happens to road teams in game 7s. It's not great. So I think the Bucks going in, we're going to win it. I still feel that way, which means I think they win game 4, and then they probably close it out at home in game 6.
Yeah, the Celtics may look back on this and really rue the one they let get away Saturday afternoon. Legs, awesome. Thank you for a terrific morning again. Stephen A. on his way in studio. Much more hoops with him about 10 minutes from now. Meanwhile, I turn to my left and I find Dan Graziano. Let's do Overreaction Monday in the NFL. Danny, if I were to say the Patriots are going to miss the playoffs, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think that's an overreaction, no. Look, it's entirely possible. A second-year quarterback in Mac Jones losing his offensive coordinator. It seems like they're replacing him with guys that don't have a lot of experience in that role. Not sure how much they put around him. I think the Patriots are still in sort of a building phase. Entirely possible that they have a hiccup and a down year.
All right, next, if I were to say the Bengals are going to repeat as AFC champions, would that be an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction. I mean, you know how I feel about repeating and how unlikely it is, but there's something about Joe Burrow. And when you go back to the beginning of this offseason, what did the Bengals need to do? It's, you know, check, check, check. They've done it all in terms of rebuilding the offensive line, addressing the secondary, and of course, Burrow with a healthy offseason could be even more dangerous.
Also, the best kicker in the sport. Finally, if I were to say the Eagles are going to overtake Dallas in the NFC East, would that be an overreaction?
Not an overreaction. The Eagles roster looks loaded. I understand and I agree that people like the Dallas quarterback better because Jalen Hurts hasn't shown as much, but boy, does he have a lot around him. And if he takes strides to the level that he did last year, does it again this year, then I think you could be talking about a real ascending player here. Eagles are a real threat in that division.
Plus, as you consistently point out to us, no one ever repeats in that division, right?
18 years
since the last time a team won that division in consecutive seasons, so that works against Dallas. Orlovsky, how about you? If I were to say the Eagles are going to overtake Dallas in the NFC East, do you think it's an overreaction?
No, I thought they did before the NFL draft, and I certainly do after the NFL draft. I don't think that there's any place that the Cowboys are unequivocally better than the Philadelphia Eagles other than quarterback. And we'll see what Jalen Hurts becomes this year now that he's got kind of a necessary support system around him. You might tell me linebacker just because of Micah Parsons. But Jalen Hurts' ability to continue to get better and develop is a huge part of the, I guess, the hope and optimism of this offense. I think they'll be the toughest offense in the NFL or one of the toughest offenses in the NFL to tackle. I think they're better at the skill position players. I think they're better on the offensive line. I think they're better on the defensive line. Dallas probably has a better secondary. So that's the one place that I'll sit here and go, group-wise, Dallas is unequivocally better. But I think in totality, the difference will come down to, does Jalen Hurts take a necessary step that we all expect him to take? And we'll see what Dak Prescott gets done in a year that he's got tremendous amount of pressure on him.
A reminder that A.J. Brown is now a Philadelphia Eagle, just for anyone who had forgotten that of all the things that happened during the draft, that might wind up being the most significant. Jeff Saturday, how about it? Eagles, Cowboys.
I'm going Cowboys here. Listen, I agree with what the guys are saying. This team's got better. You still got to play the games, right? Like, we can talk about rosters. We talked about the Bills having a great roster. Somehow they got to win. Let's not forget the Cowboys almost scored 100 points on the Eagles the 2 games last season. That's a lot of points. And as good as Jalen Hurts does, can they stop what the Cowboys' offense can do. Listen, the best thing that happened to the Cowboys is Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn, the two offensive and defensive coordinators, stuck around for the progression of this football team. When you look at this team, they still can put up points. They scored, I think they averaged over 31 points in that division. That's not going to change overnight. And as well as Jalen Hurts can play, unless they can match that 30-plus points a game, which I'm not sure they can, I just don't buy it yet. I get rosters, I get construction, I get all of those things. Ultimately, you got to play, and you got to prove that you're willing to do that. The Eagles have not done that yet.
Orlovsky, you look very skeptical. Go.
Well, Jeff, they scored almost 100 points because they played them in week 3 when the Eagles ran the ball 3 times in the first half with new head coach. Week 17, they didn't play anybody. Okay?
They also.
But that factors into this. Yes, they got to play the games. It's May, like, 7th. Yes. 5 months from now, we'll see if it actually happens. Who's got a better defensive line? Who's got the better defensive line?
I agree. I agree with the players. Can they put it
together? Who's got the better
offensive
line?
Dan Quinn. Listen, Dan Quinn, you talk about the defensive line. Do you think Dan Quinn can figure out the ways to find pass rush even without Randy Gregory? I do. Like, I believe, irrespective
of
you
better
go player
defensive
for player,
line.
Again, listen, again, when you talk about construction of football teams, it's all one conversation. Howie Roseman's done a fantastic job. You still got to go play him, Dan, and they got to go play together. How quickly can that happen? That's what's going to be the deal.
Jeff, who has the better defensive line?
Because Graziano hosts this show
frequently
when I'm not here.
The Eagles have a better defensive line individually.
Who has the better offensive line?
What he's learning is
it's
very frustrating when you ask a question and the other person won't answer it.
Yeah.
Right? So Orlovsky's just wants the answer to one question, and Jeff is just not going to give him the satisfaction of giving it to him. No. One way or another, we're on record. Eagles winning the division.
Sure, yeah. May 9th.
Saturday is on record. Eagles, Cowboys winning the division.
That's right.
And Orlovsky, Eagles winning the division, yes?
You're a sellout. Eagles winning the division.
I don't even
know
what that
means. You're a
homer. All right, speaking of the Eagles, we're going to see them in a very special night of football early in the season. So earlier today on Good Morning America, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were on, and they revealed the matchups for this matchup showcase that we have. ESPN and ABC are both going to have games on the same night. So at 7:15 Eastern that night, it's September 19th, we have Titans-Bills, a huge matchup on ESPN. And then on ABC at 8:30 Eastern, it'll be Vikings-Eagles. So it's two games in one night. ESPN, ABC, 4 continuous hours of football across the Disney networks, a unique opportunity for us and for all football fans. All right, as we continue, are we starting to see the James Harden of old? And does that mean the Sixers could make it to the finals? Stephen A. will be here to answer that question. Plus, it's been a testy series marked by hard fouls and hard feelings. Did Jordan Poole break the code when he injured Ja Morant's knee? Stephen A. will weigh in on that as well. We're going to be busy. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, we opened the show today with the performance of James Harden. One could wonder, where has this been? A critical night for Harden and the Sixers in a game they needed at home. He's been struggling so, but you could see the emotion as the threes were going down, and Joel Embiid knows that's exactly what we need here. The Sixers have a 7-point lead in the second half, and that's Harden knocking down another three. He would make 6 threes in the game last night. He would also take it to the hole. Didn't shoot well from inside the painted area. area, but he gets that one to go, and they needed every one of these buckets. Here again is Harden with the catch-and-shoot three. You almost never see that from James, but he would put it down. He played 41 minutes. He scored 31 points, and the Sixers, off of this dagger, win it 116-108. They even this series at two games apiece, and with this performance, Harden snaps a 13-game streak without topping the 25-point mark in the postseason. It dates back to last year with the Nets. It's also just the second 30-point game he's had in any context since joining the 76ers. And so the great Stephen A. Smith joins us here in studio exactly a half hour from the start of First Take. And yeah. I would say over the course of the last several months, as we have done the NBA shows together, right, there's no player we've talked about more than James Harden. Mm-hmm. That was a night they desperately needed and he needed. What did it mean?
Well, it meant everything for the Philadelphia 76ers because it gave you hope. If that's the James Harden we're going to see for the rest of this series, along with Joel Embiid, the Miami Heat are in a world of trouble. I've got the Miami Heat winning this series in seven games. I had them in five if Embiid didn't play. Obviously, he's played, so I'm thinking this will go seven games. James Harden gives you the opportunity to win this series and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's that simple. When you saw what he did last night, he was looking for his shot. He was aggressive. He was getting by defenders, but more importantly, he was drilling those threes we grew accustomed to seeing from him while he was in Houston. That is the vintage James Harden we have all been looking for. We had some serious questions as to whether or not that dude any longer existed.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have those questions now. The fact that he showed his capability in game four, there's no reason to believe why he can't do that in a game five, a game six, and potentially a game seven.
And so if he does, I mean, I asked this to Tim Legler earlier. I hate to sort of oversimplify it, but does it come down to if they get that James Harden, they win, and if they don't, they lose?
No, because Miami was still in this game, and the fact of the matter is you had Jimmy Butler scoring 40. What if he continues to do that? What if Tyler Hero gets going? What if a guy like Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker really show their veteran contributions that they're capable of showing? Miami can still beat them, even if James Harden does what he does, but the rest of the Philadelphia 76ers don't do what they're supposed to do. It's not just about Harden and Embiid, Tobias Harris, obviously a Tyrese Maxey. These brothers have to show up. They've shown the capability to show up. So it's going to take more than just Harden and Embiid to do it. But the point is, they can beat the Miami Heat if Harden is doing what he's doing, because you anticipate the other guys are going to do what they're capable of doing. It's no longer a foregone conclusion that this is Miami going to the Eastern Conference Finals, not after you saw what you saw from James Harden.
No, I think that's exactly right. And so I can't believe I'm actually going to bring this up, but the name Duncan Robinson is trending as these games are being played. Yes. They shot 7 of 35, Miami did, from three last night. Now, he makes that many threes in his sleep, but obviously Eric Spoelstra is concerned about the other side. Is there an adjustment there to be made for the Miami Heat, do you
think? I think Eric Spoelstra has to find it. He's considered a great coach and a two-time champion. We know he's a two-time champion for a reason. The man can coach the game of basketball. Eric Spoelstra is a special dude. But the reality of the situation is with the money that they invested in Duncan Robinson, you are a member of Pat Riley's franchise, of Mickey Arison's franchise. This is why you paid them. You didn't pay him just to show up in South Beach for 41 games a year or to go on a team on a row or, you know, play for 82 games. You got him for the postseason. This is a sniper. And even though he could be a defensive liability, and even though his ball handling skills aren't sublime, we get all of that. The fact of the matter is, it's Eric Spoelstra's job to find a way to make a contribution. Because as great as Eric Spoelstra is, I'm Pat Riley this morning. I've got him in the office and saying, I paid this brother. Why did I pay this brother? I mean, I wouldn't have paid this brother if you didn't tell me that you didn't have a vote of confidence in him. It wasn't just me and Andy Ellsberg and others who made this decision. We include Eric Spoelstra in this mix, which means you signed off on this. Why the hell is this dude not playing? I would need an explanation for that, because Duncan Robinson, you need to find a way to get him on the court.
All right, so tomorrow the scene in this series shifts to Miami. And despite the fact that they'll be in sunny South Florida, I think Joel Embiid is going to be in a bad mood, I should say, because he got some news he's not going to like. Woj reporting in the last hour, and we'll call this breaking news, that Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP award. It'll be his second consecutive season winning it, and an announcement will be made later this week. That is what Woj is reporting. Embiid has campaigned openly for it. Almost everyone I've asked, including you, I know, voted for Embiid. What is your reaction to the news Jokic is going to win?
A couple of things. Let's not put misnomers out there. As miserable as he will be, there's nothing that South Beach can cure. South Beach can cure anything. Okay. So let's get that out the way. Fair That's enough. Number one. It's very important to say.
Yeah.
Number two, yes, I voted for Embiid, but we can't sneeze at Jokic getting the MVP because he was right there. It was a nip and tuck battle. The reality of the situation is if you're Embiid, there are components, there are elements of blame that get pointed in your direction. Number one, James Harden and you are in Philadelphia. Kyrie Irving, KD, and them show up in Brooklyn, and they blow you out of the building in the midst of that MVP chase. Number two, Jokic comes there without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. on the court with him, and he beats Philadelphia in Philadelphia. This is in the throes of this race. Everyone knows how tight it is. Even though Joel Embiid had better numbers than Jokic, the fact of the matter is Jokic's team won. And so when you look at it from that perspective, you know, you got to take into consideration that although Joel Embiid, in my estimation, deserved it because of the season that he's had combined with the whole drama that Ben Simmons brought to the equation refusing to play, he held this franchise on its back. He deserves MVP as far as I'm concerned, but we can't look at Nikola Jokic and say he didn't deserve it. He had a phenomenal season. He played lights out. He was a reigning league MVP that everybody game planned for and still showed up and reminded everybody why the hell he was the MVP last year. So again, I voted for Joel Embiid, but I'm not going to look at this and snub my nose at this. Nikola Jokic is a worthy MVP, and I can't dismiss that.
It's one of the complicated things about the way they announced this, because right this minute, it feels so different than it felt at the time that we all cast our ballots. It's a regular season award that has to be remembered.
Yes.
Okay, next story that we need your take on, the weekend, and we got the knee injury now with Ja Morant. We had these games together over the weekend. This was Saturday night. Morant limping off the court in the fourth quarter after Jordan Poole seems to grab the knee during a trap near half court. You saw it right there. Now, Ja did not talk to reporters after the game. He did subsequently send out a tweet that said, broke the code. That's obviously in reference to what Steve Kerr has been saying about the Dylan Brooks play. He then brought that tweet down. He took it down. He deleted it. He has listed a doubtful for the game tonight. So do you think that was a dirty play?
No, I do not. That's number one. Number two, you know, the taking down of the tweet. Can we stop it? Ladies and gentlemen, once the tweet is there, it's out there. You can delete it all you want to, but everybody else got it. Why even waste your energy? All right, that's number two. Number three, listen, it's gamesmanship going on here. They're upset that Dylan Brooks got suspended for game three. Mm-hmm. That's what they're upset about. But look at Dylan Brooks' play. Compare that to Jordan Poole's play. It was not a dirty play. He was clearly reaching for the ball. You can slow-mo it and get it to look any way you want to. But that's what really, really happened. And I'm not sure that even that did it, because obviously there's a play involving Klay Thompson that was right there, and some of it had to do with it. So all I'm saying is that I don't blame him for being upset. I don't blame Memphis for being upset, because obviously Dylan Brooks is somebody they consider to have a major loss with the way Ja Morant has been having his way with Golden State, averaging 40 coming into the game and en route to getting another 40 before he got hurt. I get where they're coming from. I just like to remind them that at the time that Ja Morant got hurt, they were getting blown out.
Yeah.
I mean, they were getting blown out of the building. Let's put things in this proper perspective and understand that, again, you talk about breaking the code and stuff like that, they're mocking Steve Kerr.
Right.
This is gamesmanship. He did it to us, got one of our players suspended. Let's see if we can get one of his players suspended so he can see how it feels. There's all of that nonsense going on, but in the end, I do not believe it was a dirty play on the part of Jordan Poole at all. It's unfortunate that a superstar, because Ja Morant is a superstar.
Yeah.
A superstar like him got hurt. It's unfortunate. It's bad for all of us, because we probably won't get to see him play in game four. But you know me, I thought they were going to lose anyway.
Yeah, very quickly.
And I definitely think they're going to lose now.
For those of you who have not seen our countdown shows, I mean, you have been on Golden State basically from the very beginning. Right this minute, do they look like the best team?
To me?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, they could lose. I just don't anticipate it. I'm not betting my money against it. I don't plan on being in Phoenix with the Coyotes. Dallas, the way they look, I wouldn't mind being in Dallas, but subjected to Dallas Cowboy fans, I don't deserve that. Okay, then you've got a situation when you look at Milwaukee and Boston, Philly and Miami. I don't see anybody that Golden State can't beat when Jordan Poole Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are on the court together. I don't see anybody they can't beat. I just don't.
Well, we'll see. And the Suns will have something to say about that. They've been the best team all season long, but they have struggled the last two games, and Chris Paul in particular. And I want to mention this again. He turned 37 years old on Friday. I wished him happy birthday on the air on Friday. Then he went out. He had 7 turnovers in the first half of that game. And then yesterday, fouled out in startling fashion. You and I were together. He had a total of 5 points and 6 fouls yesterday. What is your reaction to the performance of CP3 in these two games in Dallas?
Awful. Just awful. And uncharacteristically awful. Yeah. You don't expect a Chris Paul to have 7 turnovers in a half. That was a career high, by the way. A career high. Mm-hmm. And then to follow that up with being in foul trouble and ultimately finishing a game with more fouls than points. That is an absolutely god-awful performance on his part, and he knows it just as well as anybody. So let him go back to the film and whatever and fix it, because I know he will. And that's why we don't make a big deal out of this. This is not something that is a characteristic of CP3. And I suspect that you see an explosion on his part in game 5. It doesn't mean that he's the kind of player that's going to drop 40, even though he's capable of dropping 30 or 35 on you. But could I see another 28-point 14 or 15 assists of 8? From Chris Paul in game 5? Yes, I could. I do expect that because he doesn't like to look bad. You know, he's smart. He's very polished. He dresses well. He cares about his fashion. He's a good-looking dude, okay? He's 37, but he looks 17 or whatever, okay? He's got the plant-based diet going on. He's helping me get on it, by the way. I'm thinking about getting on it. All of this stuff is true. But he looked 37 this weekend. In every sense of the word, and not in a good way, in a bad basketball way. That will not last. He will correct the error of his ways.
I have been around you all year long. I'm taking the under on the plant-based diet. Are you seriously considering going to the plant-based diet?
I am. Don't get me wrong. I'm going cheap. Let's be very, very clear. There's be a day or two per week. Might slip. Am I trying to go because you know I've traveled over the weekend and I'm feeling really good. I believe in adopting good habits.
Okay, very good. He's 19 minutes away from first take, and then we've got games coming up Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thank you, Stephen. Always, the best. Another reminder: Saturday on ESPN Plus. Don't miss what could be a classic FA Cup final. Chelsea take on Liverpool at Wembley Stadium. Our coverage begins 11:25 a.m. Eastern. That's on ESPN Plus. Kickoff is at 11:40. All right, back to as we go. Orlov's pressuring the Quirks next. Which star signal call is facing the heat this fall? To that question right as you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN EO and ESPN2.
All right, Orlovsky, buddy Marcus Spears is early and watching, and he's upset with us. He writes, the Washington football team, who Greeny and Dan Ladd last year, had a better 9-9-0 line, and also just sell me on the beer quarterback. Y'all want with the now to win the division. Orlovsky and ESPN should have lit this camp up. So Mark is coming after Orlovsky.
Washington here with a backup quarterback. Real convenient to say, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick, again, I mean, feel about that?
Chase.
That's where is he? Light the camera.
Orlovsky, let's today. So we mental lists. This one today. Dan Hanbacks, most pressure into next season. 5-1. Danny, take it away.
I'm going to start at number 5, and I'm going to go with your boy, as pretty as his face is, Zach Wilson for the New York Jets. I don't know the last time I saw a second quarterback set up to play well for in comparison to Zach Wilson. They got 3 number 1 offensive linemen. They got 2 number 1 receivers in Corey Davis and now Garrett Wilson. They got second round tailback in Tall. An offense that get quarterbacks to be better. This is a tight end. Now, in Zama, this is an offense. A lot of weapons around Zach Wilson. Go play well. Number 4, I'll go Hurts in Philadelphia. Best offensive football. One of the most offensive lines in Devontae's now paired with A.J. Brown. Chris Goddard. Miles Sanders. This is an all has a plethora of weapons. Not only talent-wise, but also they're in a situation to play kind of their perfect than their talent level. Number 3, I'll go south to Stephen A. City in America. Miami. Go to a Tungavai. If this play offense plays well, they got tailbacks that are really good with the ball as runs, but also passers. They've got Mike Dickey at tight end, who's best in young upcoming football. And the addition of Hill is a complete changer. They got one pick next year, and he's gonna have to play. I'll go Dak next for the Dallas. I just think of Corden in the NFL who have signed deals, which is what did last off within a year. How well they think of Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. Think of Josh Allen and being one of the best football teams in the NFL and having one of the best performances. I think of Jared Goff leading his team to the Super Bowl. Dak's gonna have to go play big time football, and I'll put Aaron Rodgers. This is a guy that's coming off back-to-back MVP seasons. We know what the narrative or the storyline has been. It kind of in the off seasons, Devontae Adams no longer there. There's been this $150 million contract. The expectation is Super Bowl or bust. I'm actually going to make a change to this right now in the moment. I am switching this. Aaron Rodgers is at 2. Dak Prescott has to be at number 1. The more I think about it, this is live TV. Dak Prescott hasn't really done anything since really 2018, his Pro Bowl year, 2016, Rookie of the Year. Shout out to Will Blackman. I got to put Dak Prescott at 1 because of the contract, because of what I've seen other people get and what the organization in Green Bay did not do with Aaron Rodgers. Dak Prescott has got to be the quarterback under the most pressure.
Well, that is fascinating, and frankly, you had me at Zach Wilson. So let me get Jeff's thoughts. How about all this? The pressure here, Dak and Aaron and Tua, what do you think?
Jalen Hurts got to be number 1. Why? Because all three of you clowns just put them as division winners. So he's got all this talent around him. You know, damn, put it. He stuck his foot in his own mouth. Just tell me how good how this guy's got all the weapons. Now he's got to do all these things. And they should win the division. Hey, listen, he's any number 1 in pressure then. You can't give Dak pressure. You're Aaron pressure. They're A, dude. Like, they ain't sweating it. They make $150 million. It's like, no, sort of. Jalen Hurts could potentially lose his job. And he could go draft somebody else. There's a ton of pressure with all the things that are surrounding Jalen Hurts now and expectation that we obviously just created today started to tell you. Wait, now we got to have a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts.
So you expect Jalen Hurts to have a better season than Dak Prescott, and that would not be shocking to you.
You just told me that was what was going to. You just told me Jalen Hurts was going to carry the Eagles and make them division champions over the Dallas Cowboys because of everything. Right? You did just say right.
So let me get Graziano in if I can here, guys. Let me get Graziano in. Let me get really talking about two different things.
Yes.
There are guys who have the pressure to perform.
Yes.
And I get that. Then there are guys who are playing for their jobs. Yes. And I agree that Tua and Jalen are in that category. So it's really how we look at it, Dan.
That's what makes it such a fascinating concept. List, and you could expand this his list and go all the way out to 10 to 15. I mean, look, Russell Wilson has to deliver in Denver. Trey Lance is going to be under a lot of pressure in San Francisco. We don't really know what he has to offer. Ryan Tannehill could be on his last year in Tennessee if he doesn't deliver there. So I think it's a fun exercise. I don't want to resort to name calling like Jeff Saturday did for some reason. I don't know what got into him today.
No.
But we
got mad at me. Jeff got mad at me right from the beginning. I called it out. You were the reason for the rule change. I don't want to hear. That's what happened. Yeah. You wanted it, but the Colts were the reason for the rule change. All right, everybody, stay where you are. Everybody need to crash the net, because the one thing that we have here is that the chase for the Stanley Cup, and it begins in Boston with big action yesterday. Mackey, ESPN, your home for all ESPN hockey action. Bradley Marchand broke a 2-all in the third period. And that power play, that Bruins would score twice more in the period. They went 5-2, so they five in that series for two games apiece. In Tampa, the two-time defending champs, the Lightning struck early and off. Steven Stamkos, things going one things into the game, and the goals into kept coming from there. They beat the Maple Leafs 7-3. That happened a huge win. They even that huge at two games in St. Louis. It's an absolutely goal by the big star. Just watch Jordan Kyrou. Look at the moves. Just deking around. The Blues even that series with a 5-2 win. A massive win off the brilliant performance there. And the Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight. We'll have a couple of game fours on ESPN and the ESPN. Rangers, Penguins, 7. Then the Predators and Avalanche, Colorado is going for the sweep. All right, sweet. We have much more to do as we continue. And then first week is coming up. Can this James Harden get Philly past Miami? Plus, how responsible is Chris Paul for both Suns' losses in Dallas? Molly, Stephen A., J.J. Redick, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The NFL season is never done. Then this week on Get Up, we dive into who's playing as the 2022 schedules are released. We'll reveal all the key games for the NFL's biggest stars, like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady. On Get Up, right to 10 a.m. Eastern, today through Friday on 8 p.m.
All right, well, you know who I
get up is
get up.
Is
Dax Brothers. And Danny, he's all over us. Get on him. Marcus Spears, really surprised Orlovsky didn't pick Washington again after they acquired his guy Wentz.
He really does.
How about Dax Orlovsky?
Just might. It's only just bud. I just might bud.
Dev Saturday, I'm going to give you Dev's final word on this. Go final.
I pick correct. I'm staying where I am. Stay love it. I love everybody's love it. For Monday, damn, baby. For nothing better.
Fair enough. Do we have to, Graziano, do I have to get a quick joke from him? Can you do a joke in 20 seconds?
Absolutely. Go. All right, Greeny, how do you tell the sex of an ant?
How do you tell the sex of an ant?
You drop them in a bucket of water. If it sinks, it's girl ant. If it floats, it's boy ant.
Oh, God. And then, I mean, he barely had time because that's so complicated.
I like it.
My God.
Jeff likes it. First thing Jeff liked all day.
See you tomorrow. First thing.
Yes. Now.